Good morning. Welcome to this Sunday morning church service. I'm glad to see so many of you out. We kind of a crispy Sunday morning again, and here we are in a very nice warm building. Thanks for the welcome already before. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Amen. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been here, and now starting to travel again and go to different churches, that makes you a little bit nervous even so, but hopefully you will be blessed by me serving this morning and others serving in McGregor and different churches. So we're blessed that we can gather again. And so the scripture verse for today is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That is the topic that I have chosen to speak on today, is the power that God gave Jesus on heaven and on earth. In the thought about this topic came about as I was contemplating about a topic for a church service, and different thoughts and different conversations having had, and even in my own mind thinking of things, I thought of it this way, that we sometimes assume that Satan is just about as powerful as God, as Jesus. And so from that, this topic comes up, and from that, on that I have basing this message today. And I believe you right away are saying, and I hope you're saying, but we know that's not true. But I want to encourage us today to think that thoroughly. Truly, I want to encourage us today that that's not true, that Satan is just about as powerful as God. He has no power really at all, as we will see. Shall we start with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you again that we are able to come to church. Thank you again for this beautiful morning, and thank you again for the health that you give us to get up, prepare to go to church. Thank you that so many listen to that voice calling us to go to church today. Thank you again that you're so good, that you bless us, and that you provide us a place to gather in, and that we are protected from the elements. And thank you for your word that tells us about you and says a lot about you. And so today, as we want to address the topic of all power is given unto you, I pray for your Holy Spirit's leading, for your Holy Spirit's guidance, that the listener can decipher and hear and apply to the life, and that I can be the messenger. I pray that you will be with the Sunday school and Sunday school teachers and all churches, wherever your word is preached and taught today. Would you bless them? Would you help that we as Christians would come closer to you and rely on you all the time? God, I pray for this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with a few songs.
Take our red book, turn to number 9. Yezu, Yezu, bread from heaven. Number 9.
Serve thee one and heart. Hear our prayer. 152, almost persuaded. 152.
Oh, how I wish that almost but lost wouldn't be for none of us. That we all would be persuaded. As I have thought of this topic, and as I have read it over and went over the message again, I thought of it that it really comes around about us believing who Jesus is and what he has done for us and who he is. and what he has given us as his children. But in all of it, yes, no doubt, Satan is powerful. Comparing to us, without Jesus, I want to really stress that, I want to really say that, we without Jesus are very weak comparing to Satan's forces. Very weak. And that is why I believe we sometimes do that and say that and make that feeling or give into that or blame whatever we blame, that I just couldn't resist. It was so hard, it was so strong, the temptation was so strong. In Acts chapter 26, when Paul is speaking to King Agrippa, and I thought that was pretty neat, this song here, I believe, is based on that message Paul gave to King Agrippa. And that message to King Agrippa was so compelling that he said, "You have almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And then Paul said that he would rather that he wasn't just almost, but all the way persuaded. But in Acts 26, verse 18, there Paul is preaching and witnessing to King Agrippa. And then he tells King Agrippa what has happened, what happened to him on the road to Damascus when he fell off the horse, when he met God, when he was struck blind. He tells King Agrippa. And then in verse 18, he says that Jesus had told him that he had come to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. So the scripture alludes to it, that there is a power that Satan has, but that God has sent Jesus to relieve us of that power. So there is a truth to it, that Satan is powerful, and it is very true. And that is what Jesus had come to and said there to Paul then. Jesus said that to him, he had come to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inherit among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So by faith, sanctified by faith. So the power that we believe that God has, and that the Bible talks of that God has, relies on your faith and my faith. As faithful, or as much as we believe in God, and as much as we believe that God is more powerful than what Satan is, that's exactly how much more powerful he is in our faith. Then that's how we perceive. So this is what God wanted. This is what God wants us to know and believe, that he has come to turn, to relieve us of the power of Satan and bring us to God. I believe we too often believe that Satan is just a little weaker than God. This lie is straight from Satan. This lie I want to address this morning and encourage us to believe and know different. I want to encourage us and believe and to know from Scripture that it is different. I believe we all agree and know that God is stronger than Satan. But I also believe that we too often give Satan too much credit and sometimes may just blame Satan where really we are not faithful enough ourselves. As I have taught about this topic, I see this involves our faith in God, our Lord Jesus Christ. When we fail in our faith, that God will protect us from the attacks of Satan, it is never God's fault. It's never God's fault that when we fail in our faith to rely on God. And as I was pondering about this, I thought of this illustration. This illustration giving Satan the benefit of a doubt that he is just a little bit weaker than God is. When we do that, we give into it and believing that he is just about has us, and that we're about to give in at times, we're about to give in that he could even overthrow God. But he never has, and he never will. That we definitely know from Scripture, which I also want to come to yet. But I thought of this. When we entertain that thought, that he is just a little bit weaker than God is, that's similarly, it's like a temptation. It's similarly as if when we drive past used vehicle lots and don't really need a car, but we just drive on there to see what's there. And then just like that, you buy one. When you really didn't intend to. When you really didn't intend to. When you really didn't need one. So you say, is it wrong then? Do you say, is it wrong to drive onto a dealership lot? No, it's not really wrong to drive onto a dealership lot if you need a car. But if you're just going to drive on there to get tempted, then it's better not to drive on. What I'm trying to say with this is, so it is also with the thought of that Satan is just a little bit weaker than God. Then already, when we are doing that, then we already are buying into it that he really is very strong and that we may fail, may fail in our faith, in our walk with God, against temptations, against other things, against the many struggles that we have. We set ourselves up to fail, just like, I'm talking about experience years ago, when we had our safari minivan. It always drove nice. It never had left us on the road. But we didn't really like the vehicle. And one time we were coming out of Winnipeg and we just saw the used car lot there. And I just turned onto it. And you know, it wasn't even after 2 hours. And then we already were driving off of that parking lot with a different vehicle. Just because we allowed ourselves to be tempted. Was it wrong for us to buy that vehicle? I don't really think so, because it was a very good vehicle afterwards, and we were able to sell the other vehicle. But that's how easy we can give into sometimes a lie or a thought that Satan is actually very powerful. And he is. As I already said here in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the Bible alludes to him to have power. Before we continue, we want to kneel for prayer, and then I want to continue with our topic. So if you're catching yourself of having got that idea, maybe thought about it, pray that the following scripture verses will convince you to cast that thought aside, and that God is all-powerful, and really Satan has no power against God at all. And when we are his children, and God says we have access to that power, and then we are also more powerful than Satan is. And I want to encourage us with scripture after the prayer and after another song. So if you're able to, would you please kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless our prayers. Amen.
Take the blue hymn book and turn to page 483. He, the pearly gates will open. For those that are able, let's stand.
Very, very good singing, and very good songs too. Thank you. When Jesus says in Matthew 28, all power is given unto him, he uses the word that means that God has given him the right and might and authority and capability. The right to exercise this power God has given to him. So he has the power to do it, and he has the authority, and he's also got the capability to exercise it. And he does exercise it, and he will exercise it. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says there, now the God of hope filled you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is one verse already that is speaking to you and I that have and are believing in God. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Notice there, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In believing that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So when we are God's children, we are given access to this power through the Holy Ghost. This is what I would like us all to take home from today's services, that we have access to this power by believing. Jesus is all-powerful, and we are given of this power to live and practice while here on earth. I would like to further enforce what I have said this with more scripture. The first scripture passage is now from 1 Peter 3:22. First Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Who's gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. This is talking about Jesus again. And here it says, angels and authorities and powers. Anything that is, that maybe may look like could be equal with God is still made under him, made subject unto him. So even if it would look like they should have been here, not anymore. Now it's, everything is under Jesus. Everything. Everybody. Authorities, powers, angels, they're all being made subject unto him. So there is not really a question whether they feel like being under Jesus, but they are under Jesus. That's what I want us to notice, to see, and to also believe that the Bible says so. Not just I am saying it, but the Bible says that's how it is, and that's how it always will be. There will never be a time when it isn't going to be like that. John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verses 25 to 30. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Notice, as the Father, so hath he given. God gave this power. God gave life to Jesus. Here in John chapter 5, Jesus hadn't died yet, but God knew already that Jesus would die for the sins of the world, and God also knew that Jesus would be willing to go and die, give his life for the sins of the world, and because of that, God gave him this, because there was no one else really willing to do that for us and could do that for us than Jesus, his Son. His perfect, sinless Son. And so because of that, this was given to him. But also, the Bible teaches us, and I will get to those verses yet, that at the resurrection, Jesus rose victorious, all-powerful over the death power that Satan had on mankind. So Satan had powers, but he didn't keep that powers because it was taken away from him the moment Jesus rose from the dead, where Satan figured he could keep him now forever, and Jesus was out of his way, and he wasn't, though. He was not out of his way. Verse 27 says, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So even Jesus himself alludes to it and says, of him own self he can do nothing, but of what God is giving him, he can do all these things. This all belongs to Jesus and no one else, not even Satan that pretends to have a right to it. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 7. Here we see again, we see a portion where it is recorded in the Bible, where God's word alludes to it that Satan is very powerful. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. Daniel is in a vision here. He has prayed for a clarification to God. And then he says in verse 13, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came in the ancient days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory, and the kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. What I said before here, this is where Daniel was, where I said here it was where Daniel had prayed, and that isn't this scripture passage. But in Daniel it is said so, and I guess I'm a little bit mixed up with my note here. But here again in verse 14 it says here, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and it shall not pass away. It is given to Jesus forever, and it will not pass away. Just like it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, when the angel announced Jesus' birth. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So here again it says, and it shall be given unto him, and he shall reign. A few pages further in Luke chapter 10, verse 22. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. So here again, Jesus is alluding to that and says, it is given to me of my Father. Verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. This scripture verse always reminds me of and tells me always that we in this era now as Christians, after Jesus' his birth and after Jesus' dying and rising from the dead, have access to and can hear and take things from the Bible that the prophets then couldn't. They believed in it, But they had to look towards what Jesus was going to do, and we now can look back and say what he has done. So they had to believe in what the Bible said Jesus would be doing and coming for, and we now can look back and say we can believe, and we need to believe what Jesus has done. So I believe believing in something that has happened is much easier than something that is supposed to happen, right? And so that gives us also already an advantage of having even more faith than what the prophets and the people had in the Old Testament. John chapter 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So here again, as thou hast given him power, Jesus again was saying this to God in this prayer here in John 17. Power over all flesh. Ephesians 1 verse 19 to 23. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Notice now it's addressing you and I here. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he created. In Jesus, when he raised him from the dead, notice here it refers to what I said before. There was a power that happened. Satan was overthrown when Jesus rose from the dead. Satan lost the grip of death, the power of death that he had over people. He lost it when Jesus rose from the dead, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities, any other rulement, any other government or any other power, Jesus is set far above it. And powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. See, notice, forever it is given to him. Forever he is above all principalities and powers and dominions. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Jesus is the head of the church. And so here again, we can see that it is pointing to you, towards us also having access and power to him, in him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. See, he's not just equal. He is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue should confess. Every tongue needs to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts chapter 2. Verse 36, therefore, let all the hosts of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the name, that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. That God made Jesus to have more power than anybody else. Whom you have crucified, assuredly that God had made him both Lord and Christ. And if somebody is Lord, then he is above the other. Then he's above the other. And it also says he's both made Lord and Christ. That refers to, when you look at the word here, what Christ means, that he is the anointed one. He is the anointed one that should come, referring to the promised Messiah as well. So God made him the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one, the Redeemer, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus was made and is. Romans 14, verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and received, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. See, the scripture verse says that he is Lord over the dead and the living, over everybody, everything. He is Lord over. For to this end both Christ died and rose and received. See, Jesus fulfilled the whole salvation plan. But also in the last days, Satan will try to look like he has power, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and prophecy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. See, he says this is what will happen. The time will come. In the latter times, some shall depart from faith because of giving Satan too much glory, giving him too much credit. And then when I read verse 3 here, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, and what kind of times are we now? Promoted all the time. Lots of times it's promoted that vegetation is better than eating the meat that God has created for us. But there is a lot more that we can read about what Satan will do in the end time. So I want to look at that yet a little bit more. But firstly, let's look at John chapter 19. Here again, it talks about power that someone perceived to have, power over Jesus. And we find it here very clearly in John 19 that he didn't have what he thought he had, Pilate himself. And verse 10 says, Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? See, Pilate didn't look at that Jesus was all-powerful. Pilate didn't perceive that, and he didn't believe that. And Jesus answered him in verse 11, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. But he says, you have power over me now because it is given you from above. God is allowing this to happen so that salvation plan would come to fulfill and would be fulfilled. But Pilate himself had no power, Jesus said. Satan believes that he has power and can give it away. According to Luke chapter 4, this is where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, or when he had been fasting for 40 days and came out of the wilderness. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, It says this, "And the devil said unto him, All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them that are of them, for that is delivered unto me." See, he says, all this, and as you, I believe you know where Jesus was and where Satan met him, and it's understood that he could maybe, or I always kind of picture it, he could look over a big area of the world and it looked good there. And then Satan said to him, all this I will give you if you will worship me. That is delivered unto me. He assumed that it was even his, that he could give it away, and that he could give it to whomsoever he would like to. But we know that wasn't the truth. Satan lied to Jesus, just like he lies lots of times to you and I. He lied to him. And then he says in verse 7, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." So he assumed that all was his. It was a lie that he assumed there. And he said, but if you will worship me, then you can have all this. He didn't believe it, and he didn't accept it that it was all Jesus already. It was Jesus's. Jesus didn't need to get it from Satan. It was already all Jesus's. That's what I want to encourage us today with. That's what I want to for us to remember today, that as much as Satan pretended to have things, he didn't have nothing. He had nothing that wasn't given to him. He couldn't give nothing away. And then in verse 8 it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve." And that's what we are supposed to do too. We're not supposed to serve Satan at all. We're only supposed to serve God. We see also here in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we see different after Satan had tempted him those three times there and had assumed that he could give things to Jesus and tried him really hard, and Jesus had stayed faithful. Verse 14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about." So as I read this verse again, I thought of Jesus returning in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. "And there went out a fame throughout all the region." The fame that Satan wanted. The fame, the popularity, the praise that Satan wanted, Jesus was receiving here now, all of it. And then if we drop down to verse 36 in Luke chapter 4, it says, "And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." So he had the power over the unclean spirits, and he with authority and power he commanded them. So nothing could stay and could resist the power of Jesus. Am I wrong to say that we assume that God and Satan are just about even in power? If God and Satan were about even in power, how would God be able to cast Satan out of heaven? That Revelation 12, verse 9 speaks about. Revelation 12, verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." If Satan was just about as powerful as God, how could this happen? How would this happen? I can't find it nowhere in the Bible that God ever struggles when dealing with Satan. Can't find it. You can't find it that God ever panics and says, but I have to exercise really hard now to overcome the power of Satan. Not at all. We only find that Satan receives permission from God at times, and then he is very powerful, according to Job chapter 1, verse 7. In the book of Job, we see that Satan couldn't do a thing unless God gave him access to it and gave him the power. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down. I find it interesting that Satan doesn't ask God, from where do you come? But God is asking Satan, from where do you come? And he answers. He answers it. Then in verse 12, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So God gave Job his possessions into Satan's power. Satan had no power on Job at all until God gave it to him. We find, though, that Satan is very active in our lives. Satan hates God's creation. Now I'm up to that scripture verse that I referred to before. Zechariah 3, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. In verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is it not this, a brand plucked out of the fire? So here we see that Satan resists people. He stands many times and resists people. And they realize it. And then now also to Daniel chapter 10 verse 13. That's what I referred to, was going to, or was referring about before. Daniel 10 verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. I believe it is talking about an evil force here. The prince of the kingdom of Persia was an evil force which stood him. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the prince of Persia. See, here again, we see that here for 21 days. For 21 days, he had, the prince of the king of Persia had been holding him from bringing the message to Daniel that God had sent him to bring. So Satan is very active in our lives and in even in God's people, in God's messengers. God had sent the messenger to bring a message to Daniel. Here, when you read all of Daniel chapter 10, and God had sent him, but he couldn't get to Daniel because the prince of Persia. An evil force was holding him from reaching him. And then Michael came and helped him and brought the message to Daniel, if you read that whole chapter. Here, I believe, also it refers to Satan withstanding God's messenger for 21 days. If Satan resists God's messengers, how much does he resist us today in today's age? I believe he does. Lots he resists us. He resists us many times. Luke 13, verse 16 alludes to it again, that Jesus came to set us free from that. And here the woman is set free from a bondage, from evil forces. Luke 13, verse 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from the bond of this, from this bond on the Sabbath day? So Jesus had loosed her here, and now he was accused of doing it on the Sabbath day, and he says, but the point that I'm taking out of this verse is here that it says, the daughter of Abraham whom Satan had bound, for 18 years she was bound. She was loosed by the power of Jesus. So she was loosed and freed, and now she could continue living free and healthy, just like God had created her, and she was free from the bondage of Satan. As I started out in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, that's kind of the main verse for this message, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inherit among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's what God has come to do. That's what Jesus did for us. Again, points us to the... In 2 Thessalonians, we also see it points us to the last days before Jesus is coming for the second time. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 first, and then back to verses 1 to 4. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, it alludes to him. With all power and lyings and wonders. And then look at verse 1 to 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind or be troubled, neither by the Spirit nor by word nor by letter from us, that the day of the Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin might be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See, as I said before, in the last time, then Satan will come and try to appear as God. And here again, this is the scripture verse that refers to that. But then listen to and look at verses 13 to 17 in the same chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved as of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to abstain, to the abstaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistles. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work. The God of comfort, establish your hearts. Let's allow God to do that for us. Let's have strong faith in God so that we don't give Satan the benefit of the doubt. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See, these are all things that the Bible says will happen, and we are supposed to stand up and against them and not believe them, and not believe that they have the powers that they will assume to have. Also in verse 7 of the 12th chapter in 2 Corinthians, unless I should be exalted by measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above the measure. Paul himself even was troubled by Satan. And he says that here, that had happened to him. And then we can continue reading in verse 8 to 10. For this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this is not very easy for us to understand that and to come to the point where Paul was here. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Yes, we do realize that many times, and we do notice that, but when we are in that weakness, many times we don't realize that's when we are strong in Jesus. So Jesus gives us power over the enemy. And we can rejoice because he has done that for us. Jesus said to the 70 disciples that he beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven when they had gone out preaching from them, when they had gone out to preach for Jesus. But Jesus also said, don't just glory in that, but glory in this, that your names are written in heaven. And so that is the important thing, that we are in Jesus, and then we have the access to this. We get the power to overcome everything in life. We do this in faith in God. Faith like a mustard seed can move mountains. God gives the power to Jesus. God always had the power in no one else. God will remain all-powerful, as we see in Revelations. He will send Jesus, and Jesus will come in power to judge the world. There is nothing going to stop him. Jesus is given the power to forgive others and Jesus gives us the power to forgive others and ask us to forgive too. Jesus gives us power to love someone we never believed we could love in a Christian way. We know we should, but fail to do so. It will never be God's fault if we don't, when we know we should. Jesus gives us the power to overcome sin's problems. And so, and there's many more scripture verses that we can could go to, and many more places where we can learn from the Bible and even from testimonies that people have and have are given how Jesus has helped them. From being very, very low, being very overtaken by grief, by sadness, by unworthiness, and when they come to Jesus, then they became worthy. They felt worthy and were worthy and overcome that. So may we never again give Satan the benefit of a doubt that he is just about as powerful as God is, because he's not. I hope that I have given you the scripture passages, not just my words, but also the scripture passages showing it that everything is in subjection to him, that there is no, Satan doesn't even come close to him. Nowhere, not at all, does he come close to him. And so, as we already read, that we, as his children, have access to that power through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's reach out to that power. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, today, I thank you that we're able to become your children in faith and through faith in Jesus Christ. And through that, we have access to that power to overcome the power that Satan has and believes he has. And so when we really think about this, and when we really see this, we can tell and we know that God is over everything and always has been and always will be. And so, God, that gives us such comfort, that gives us such assurance that you are always and always will be in control. You always have been in control, and you will continue being in control. Even though sometimes when we feel like it isn't really in control, but it is just because we are losing faith. We are losing sight of you and have taken our eyes off of you and laid our eyes and our vision on problems. And that is what you don't want us to do. You've shown us in Scripture and are showing us in Scripture that when we lay our eyes on you and ask you to heal us, to forgive us, and to guide us, that you are willing to do that. And so may we as a church always do that. May we trust you, and may we never come to the point where we assume and start believing Satan as he did to Jesus. All this glory and all this wealth I will give you if you will worship me. And it is, we are worshiping and we are serving him when we start believing him, when we start trusting him and thinking that he has that, and that he maybe is powerful, and that he maybe have fallen too far, that we are about to give up. Lord God, help us to reach out to you and help us to grab hold of your faith in you, and faith as the Bible teaches us to have. May we do that, and may we become stronger in that faith all the time. Lord God, I pray for your blessing on this message, and I pray for your blessing for each one that is here. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we have come to the close of our service, and we kneel for the second time for prayer. And so I encourage you to pray about the things that are bothering. That if we have given Satan the credit, let's take that back. Let's admit it to God and say he isn't. We have seen it in Scripture today that he isn't, that he has no power. Would you once more, if you're able to, please kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless our prayers. Amen.
Take your blue book and turn to number 477, Jesus, Savior, Pilot, Me.
Good morning. I want to thank Brother Corney for that message. A couple of announcements. The Salem Home Ladies Auxiliary presents their first ever FOSPA in a Box event just in time for Valentine's Day. Orders will be accepted until February 7th, that's tomorrow, online at their website or by email or by phone. And then the boxes may be picked up at Salem Home on Saturday, February 12th. For more information, please see your bulletin. Also, baptism classes. They were to start this last Tuesday, but because of the weather, it was canceled. So the first classes will be starting this coming Tuesday. All those that are considering baptism are encouraged to attend. Also, the Sunday school has opportunity to serve there, especially they're looking for more help with leading the singing, playing piano or guitar on Sunday mornings. So if you are gifted in that manner, please help them out. And a word of thank you from John Hebert. He was sick in the hospital, and he wants to thank you all for your prayers, and he's fully recovered and feeling good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Come to the end of the service. I want to conclude with a benediction out of Numbers 6. Let's bow for that if you feel like. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And in faith, we can have that peace. May God bless and have a good week. Thanks for coming to church.